the young folk in church, you know, there's some of the chapels in the north. Some of them don't even have Sunday schools now. Do you know that? It's got so bad. So you should praise God for seeing all these young folks here. Anyway, well, great to see you again. It's really lovely. You keeping well? I'm one of the family now. I can only come once every 5 years. You're quite happy about that. I can see some of the elder brethren smiling and saying, that's good. He only comes once every 5 years. We're okay. Well, anyway, it's wonderful being saved, isn't it? Just knowing the Lord. And I want to thank Brother Freddie for being the substitute linebacker last week and playing for me. You know the old story of the preacher, the young preacher, that said that when the window blew out, they put a piece of hardboard in, and he says, that hardboard, he was trying to explain substitution, that hardboard was the substitute for the pane of glass. And an old Scottish lady going out said, laddie, you're no substitute, you're the real pain. So maybe you've got... You maybe got the real pain this morning. You had the substitute last week. You got the real pain this morning. Wee boy came up in the assembly and he said, my daddy says, I'm going to tell you, when I grow up, I'm going to send you some money. And the full-time worker said, oh, that's very kind of you. Why would you do that? He said, because my daddy says, you're the poorest preacher we've ever had in this place. Well, isn't my life, folks? And the older I get, the more exciting it gets to know the Lord. I didn't say the easier it gets. Now, that's the difference, isn't it? It doesn't get easier. Sometimes it's very hard, isn't it? But in the hard times, I was just reading Oswald Chambers the other week there, and he would say, sometimes God takes us through a valley, that when he takes us through a valley, he prepares us for something else ahead. And so if you're going through a valley, my friend, as I have done on occasions and very often, take courage. God is retraining you to use that experience to be a blessing to someone else. That's how God works. He trains us, doesn't he? And wouldn't you rather have an experienced dentist work on your teeth than a novice? Someone who's just read up on how to do dentistry. You wouldn't want that, would you? You would rather have someone who knows exactly what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for reunions. We thank you for the blessing of the Lord. We thank you for being with these dear members of the family again. How our hearts are blessed and thrilled. And oh Father, how with some we rejoice and with some we're sad. And Father, but we thank you that through it all, we've learned to trust you and to take you at your word, Lord. And so this morning, that's what we're here for, because we love Christ. And Lord, we just pray you would bless our time together in a special way for Christ's sake. Amen. And I was thinking, you know, of the strength of the Lord that was with us. And I was thinking of how God had very graciously and very wonderfully placed within us, not us outside us, around us, but in us, has placed someone who can comfort us in our deepest hour of needs and our hour of sorrows. And I would like you to turn with me to John chapter 14, and I want to take a moment to look at the Spirit and try and get a full understanding of some of these things we maybe touched on before. But, you know, I take Paul's exhortation to the Philippians. The same things I write to you, to me it is not for grievous, and for you it is safe. And sometimes, you know, in these days that we live in, we need to be reminded of what we've got, not what we may not have. I remember going to a prayer meeting in Glasgow, in one of the larger assemblies in Glasgow, Abingdon Hall. It was a turn of the year. It had been a big assembly in its day gone by, and God had blessed it. It had been virile and active, and they had seen many people had saved, but it was an inner city assembly, and it had, so the younger couple got married and his life got a little bit more affluent, had moved out to the new housing areas in the city, and I was so glad they had the prayer meeting first, because the prayer meeting was the most depressing prayer meeting I had ever been in my life, and I had come prepared. It was the first Wednesday night of the year, and I give them a good, just solid, straightforward message, and that's what we're going on. When it came to the ministry, I said, you know, I want to show you what you have, not what you don't have. And it was interesting as we took in the Word of God and see what we have and what God has given us. It was a different group of people left the hall that night than came into it. They were rejoicing in what we have. And what we have in Christ. Let me just begin and read these verses, and you'll be very familiar with them. Verse 15 of chapter 14 of John's Gospel. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, or King James, comforter, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Excuse me, but I'm going to get you to talk. Will you say amen? Not only will he be with you, but he will be in you. My. What is it? Paul says that this is the temple of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? The temple of praise. You know what I've been telling saints in Pennsylvania? I've been preaching in Baltimore and Philadelphia and all around that area. I said, this is a temple. I hope you get up on Monday and say, Lord, the gates are open. Let the praise begin. Think of it. If it's a temple, it's the house of God, isn't it? It's a place where God is. And that's the truth, because what does the Lord Jesus say? He says he's not only going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. And when you can talk to nobody else, and nobody understands, in your heart and in your life, you have the eternal Spirit who can translate from your heart to the throne of God groanings that cannot be uttered. Amen? Right up there. And you can, the world can say, who cares? And you can say, the Father cares. Because he's listened to the translation of my agony by the Spirit at his throne. What a wonderful thing Christianity is, isn't it? Isn't it? It's real. Isn't it real? When the Spirit of God, he shall not only be with you, but he shall be in you. When I was a wee boy in Scotland, probably you knew about it in Bahamas because of the British influence in the early days, was the Boys Brigade they had over there. They don't have it in America. But I remember when I was sent to the big Boys Brigade by my mother, probably to give her a easy night, you know, get rid of her for a night, send the Boys Brigade. And I remember there was a picture, always in the church there was a picture. And it was of the Lord Jesus and a little life boy. And they're walking down the road together. And the Lord had his arm about this boy. Never thought much about it. But when I got saved, I discovered. It's not that he's just got my arm round me. He's got the everlasting arms under me. And you know what, beloved? He's living in me. Love, you love that? I love that old hymn. Every time I come here, you do my heart good, because I think it's the only place I see redemption songs now. Not that I'm advocating, I'm not an advocate for promoting redemption songs, but it brings back so many. I was weaned on that hymn book. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Isn't that lovely? That's our Savior. That's our Savior. He wanted to rescue a city for His glory and tell them about His power. So what did He do? He took the undesirable woman at the well and He spoke to her. And He spoke to her in such a way that her effervescence about Him spoke to a whole city. I gather she would have had a few problems. I would have think that's why she was probably out there getting water at that time of the day on her own. But the Lord spoke to her. And you know, when He's in you, He spoke to me. I want to share one or two instances with you that are related to you folks. When I was here 5 years ago, I had been invited back to Scotland to preach on the east coast among the fishermen in the town of Peterhead. And we had gone back for 2.5 months, and we had 2.5 months, and we hadn't got back for 4 months, and God began to move, and they said, would you stay? And we went to see a work among what was known as the Taylorite Brethren. That was the real exclusives. I mean, you haven't seen exclusives till you've seen them. If the family weren't in the meeting, they didn't eat with their family. I mean, that's taking exclusivism and legalism to craziness. And just about the time I arrived in the town, a whole group of them came out, young men in their late 30s, 40s, was one or two others. And when you've been in a very cloistered group like that, you're so brainwashed that you can hardly believe there's any Christianity or anything outside what you belong to. And it was at that time that I met one of them, and he was a sweet-spirited man. He said, I love prayer. I said, he says, come up and visit me, John. And I said, okay. He had a flower shop and a market gardening place. So I said, oh, come on. I said, you know, I love prayer too. I said, Why don't we come up and gather a few of your guys and we'll have prayer? He says, that would be wonderful. So we started. That was over 5.5 years ago. That prayer meeting's still going on. They meet every Tuesday. One of the guys came round to me and said, I made a mess of my life. He said, he told me the story. He had a child with another woman, and I don't think his wife was saved, and he made a mess of it. I says, well, are you willing to repent and come quietly to the Lord? And not make any fanfare about what you're doing, but keep it between you and the Lord, and let the Lord open the doors in your life. Well, he said, yes, I am. Well, I said, I'm sat in a prayer meeting. Would you like to come to the prayer meeting? He didn't know these other guys. And he came to the prayer meeting. He said, he's an accountant. God touched his lives, you know. You know, friends, God's in the business of forgiving sinners, even saved sinners. And he came back. And I said, now don't push yourself forward. Just come to the fellowship, but don't push yourself forward. Everybody in the, you know what it is. If anybody makes a mistake in this island, everybody knows about it. Peterhead was the same. 18,000 people. They knew what you had for breakfast. They didn't need internet. They had faster moving news before there was an internet. I said, just keep quiet. I said, get up every morning and say, Lord, I want you to direct my life today. He said, I'm going to do that. And that man has become a powerful man of prayer. I want to tell you where you come in. I was in the apartment, and we had come back, and I said, John, you've got to come back. I said, I can't come back. He said, you've got to come back. Well, I said, I'm over in the Bahamas with my friends in Spanish Wells, and my family's in America. I've got to come back. They said, you've got to come back. So one night, Margaret and I were talking. I said, we've got to really ask the Lord about this, give them an answer. Of course, with a 5 hours difference, I could phone them in the middle of the night and get a cheap rate, and they would get it in the morning. And so I was in that room. Now, I'm a great sleeper. I used to be anyway, before old age catch up with me. I've got to sometimes do visitation in the middle of the night now. But in the old days, I could sleep right through. And I said, Lord, if you want me to go to Peterhead, I was in that bedroom back there, you waking me to phone Mr. Buchanan in the middle of the night. And I'll tell you, friends, I had the most real experience of God I'd ever had in the middle of the night in that bedroom. I just didn't waken up. I shot up. Sat in the bed. Margaret says, are you all right? I mean, because she's been convinced for years, I'm not all right, but never mind, you know. She said, are you all right? I said, worse than usual. And I said, yes, the Lord, we've got to go to Peterhead. So we left you, went back to Peterhead, and began to see God work among the fishermen. Guys that went out in the North Sea, I mean, boy, I'll tell you, once you see that, it's rough out there, you guys get rough everywhere, whether the sun's shining or not, but if you fall into the water over there, if the waves don't get you, the cold has killed you before the waves get you. And we've had boys, I met men that were swept off the deck of a boat. You fishermen on there, swept off. And another wave, I mean, this isn't a miracle of God. Another wave brought the two of them back on again. I met these men, Christian men. They'd seek ye the kingdom written on the wheelhouse. And the wave took them off and back on again. And you know, we went there, and this prayer meeting was gone, praying that I would come back. So I started again. We moved down into where they prepared the flowers. It was wonderful. We had a prayer meeting where the aroma of beautiful flowers were, you know, sweet rose of Sharon. That's the best aroma. We began to pray. Then we decided to have a couple of nights, 2 years later, gospel. But things were happening. God was moving. We could get 300-400 people any Sunday night in to hear the gospel. And things were moving. We couldn't get the people in, and God was moving. And we decided to do 2 nights. We had a country western singer. I know how you guys like singing, and he had been a secular guy, got saved in Texas, and he was over. So I said to one of the guys, hey, let's empty your fish house. These guys dealt with a shellfish. What did they have, Margaret? Scallops and that they work with, and they had this big factory. I says, get all your staff. Well, we've never done that before. I says, get all your staff down, we'll sing, we'll get them down to the meeting at night. Well, we've never done that before. One of the guys was this accountant. He says, let me talk to my partner. So they said, okay, John, we'll do it. They brought chairs down into the fish house and sat down their staff, 40 of a staff. The guy sang to them and preached the gospel to them. And gave them all a gospel CD. They came down that night. Now I'm going to tell you, in the northeast coast of Scotland, we have these fish houses. Margaret's father had one, where they buy a fish off the boat and it goes into the fish house right away, just like you have on the shore here, but you use the crawfish. But they do their filleting there, or filleting as we say there, and these women have tongues like that would make a U.S. Marine blush. I'm telling you, the language. And in this factory, it was a huge, bigger brother than this, and a mother was on that side and a daughter was on that side, and they spoke back to each other, and the curses were unbelievable. Curses believe. He shall be in you. And the devil fought us. Boy, he's powerful, you know. And that Monday night, when we finished the service, we give an invitation. And I'll tell you, when you see God working, you've in this island seen this, it's exciting, isn't it? You see something happening that you could not do. You could pray about it, but you couldn't manufacture. And the first woman who put forward was the mother and the daughter and some others from this fish house. And the next morning, the brother phoned me, this account, and he says, John, he says, you will not believe it. He says, the whole atmosphere in this place has changed. He says, this woman walked in this morning and said, I got converted last night. I was born again. He says, there's not been a curse in this place all morning. He says, the language, the atmosphere, everything. And summer students who worked in the place some months later came back to me and said, he says, John, Mr. Clunis, what God has done there in a fish house. Imagine what you could do in a church if we let them, amen? We could do it in a fish house. We full mouth, and I led one woman to the Lord, a Roman Catholic woman. She said, the next night, she said, oh, the man I'm living with said, you're not going down to that meeting tonight. That was the Tuesday night. And she said, oh, yes, I am. I saw it work today. What happened? I'm going down. And I had the joy, and I said, to a hungry heart, I said, when were you looking for the, how long have you been? She said, for 6 months I've been looking. Hungry for God. And that night she got saved. We saw 22 people in 2 nights got saved. Now I'm going to be honest with you, brother. I sat and watched God work. And I wept. I wept. Don't go for the mundane. Go for the real. He shall be in you. Oh, open the gates of your heart for praise. Lord, let the worship and praise begin. Thank God the worship meeting isn't exclusively on Sunday. The actual acting out of it. But thank God there's a worship meeting here on Monday morning. Amen. What? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. We can see Him. He shall not only be with you, but He shall be in you. And we began to see God changing lives. You folks would love that. I had this old fisherman. Phone me up. He says, John, it's time. I says, what time is it? Time I was baptized, he said. I got saved on the deck of the boat 25 years ago. And I said, I've never been baptized. He says, will you baptize me? So another lady and he who were really scared of water, a fisherman that was really scared of water, but he was. The lady came to me, I went, I'm awful scared of water. I said, don't worry, dear, I'm very experienced. I says, I've only drowned people in 6 years of my whole ministry. Six people in my whole ministry. The next thing I got a phone call from him. She phoned me. She says, you've only drowned six people in, you know, your whole ministry. I said, don't worry about it. And what's your favorite hymn? He said, John, when I come out of the water, would you sing, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me? And a very big, shy fisherman could sing that. We put him under and he came up and the congregation sang, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. Isn't this a personal thing? He shall not only be with you, but He shall be in you. That means that tomorrow, when you're at the mundane things of life, He's still in you. And that's what makes us attractive to the world, that we become a house of praise for the glory of God in a society that has nothing. It's scrambling for answers. that is as empty as a bottle with nothing in it. And we have in us the Spirit of God. How are we doing, neighbor? Oh, when does it... I always keep my watch fast so that I'm never late. We had a wee preacher in Scotland when folks used to come in late. They used to say, "Mr. Richardson, it's better late than never." He used to say, "It's better never late." That's so. I've shared from my heart this morning. We saw the Spirit, and it began here. 5 years ago, in that back place, when God spoke to me, took us back. I paid the price of that revival when I came back. God put us through a desert place. He does that, doesn't he? He takes you down. So that you can look up at him and trust him and smile. What was it Job said? "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Remember, my friends, a smile doesn't constitute that everything's all right. The smile may come out of a life where everything has gone wrong in our minds, but faith has kicked in and we've realized he shall not only be in us, with us, but in us. Now, just in the last few minutes, remember, I give you probably one of the times this year, but just for those who weren't here, and as I close, and we will close now. Remember, I give you the standard thing that God had given us by the Spirit. He regenerated us. Remember that? He regenerated us. We're born again. Amen? Isn't that lovely? Born again. Born again. He indwells us. He's in us. We're baptized into the body. What a body, amen? What a body. We don't need a secret handshake to get anywhere. We've got a wonderful name that you can mention anywhere, and my, does it open doors, the name. I'm sure you folks said, "She's gone to glory now." Remember the big lady Goodman used to sing, "Oh, that lovely name of Jesus." Amen? I'll tell you, it's the most hated name in this world. And it's the most wonderful name in this world. And it opens more doors than any other name in this world. You just mention it and somebody comes out of the woodwork. And they love the Lord too. Oh, I love that. Bought into the body. We need each other. Not only have we got the Lord, but we've got each other. Beloved, stay close. Pray for each other. Put your arm around each other. Drop a wee card. And let them know. Let each one know how much you care. Into the body. And then in Ephesians 1 and 13, we're sealed by the Spirit in the body. Regenerated, indwelt, baptized, and sealed. Do you remember it? Do you remember what it was that you get when you're born again? You get a nice set of ribs, don't you? R-I-B-S. Regenerated, indwelt, baptized, sealed by the Spirit. You've got your ribs, beloved. And if I didn't have ribs today, I would just be a mess of jello on the floor. They keep everything together, don't they? And thank God, my spiritual ribs and your spiritual ribs are not outside of us, but in us. Keep us together. We're regenerated, we're indwelt, baptized into the body, and we're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And all the people of God said, amen. Let's pray. Father, bless everyone here as we go to the Lord's Supper. And we see his passion. May his passion be in our hearts and his passion become our passion. And oh Father, we do pray that these temples, the doors will be flung wide open and the praise will begin for the glory of a wonderful Savior. in his holy name. Amen. Thank you. I rambled a wee bit this morning, but I want to share from my heart. Just, he's an everyday God, isn't he? Not just Sunday morning. He's there. God bless you. Thank you.